When Julia Collins was a little girl, her father would tell her and her younger sister bedtime stories. Then he'd sing them to sleep, and when he thought Julia was finally sleeping, his stories would change. Instead of Winnie the Pooh and Little Red Riding Hood, there were images of poisonous snakes, the fire of combat, steamy and deadly Pacific jungles. These images smoldered in Julia's mind, but not in the minds of any of her other four siblings or her mother. It wasn't until her father died 10 years ago that Julia discovered a suitcase full of her father's letters and a side of him that she had never known. Julia Collins has written about her father and their relationship in her book, My Father's War, and she joins us now from member station WBUR in Boston. Julia, why did you decide to write a book about your father, Jerry Collins?
Well, my father and I were both born in Brantford, Connecticut, and we both had all the ingredients for an idyllic childhood. Brantford, when he was growing up and when I was growing up, was a very small town, and it's on Long Island Sound. My father, when he was a boy, had a pet goat, and he would often wander through the fields behind his house with Maisie, and he enjoyed a kind of freedom, a kind of childhood wanderlust that I also enjoyed, as did my brothers and my sister. And as I grew up, I watched him become a forgotten man and lose all of the dreams and potential promise that he had held as a young man. And I came to understand through the confidences he shared with me that he was haunted by experiences on a very remote island where he spent 3 months in combat during World War II. And he had to unburden himself of these memories. And over the years, they became the central motif of our relationship.
Julia, why did he confide in you? Why not in your mother?
Well, you know, he was a veteran of World War II. He was a typical Marine in many ways, a typical product of his era, in that he had eagerly enlisted in World War II. He had also grown up during the Great Depression, and it was not in his nature or in the style of the times to reveal a lot of personal fears and anxieties. And I think the reason he confided in me and also in my younger sister to some extent was that by the time we were born, he was watching his life start to unravel. He was no longer a very young man. He was growing older, and he was watching all his dreams, the dreams he'd formed as a young man, as a Yale graduate and small-town boy with dreams of success. He watched them all begin to come undone. And I think that he became increasingly haunted by his combat experiences in the Pacific Theater.
Julia, were you ever angry with him for telling you these stories?
I did become, I would say, more than angry. I think I was absolutely enraged, because there did come a time when I felt as though I was being weighed down with circumstances that I could never make better for him. And there was really nothing that I could offer him, because in a way, he was seeking perhaps a kind of a repository in which to put his pain and disappointments, but he didn't really want to have feedback about it. It was almost as though he just simply needed to spill out these experiences. And at times I felt trapped between my desire to just be a child, a normal girl, you know, growing up, and my sense that my job, and in fact, my duty to help keep him going, was to listen with all my strength and basically to stop being his daughter in many ways, but instead to become his protector.
After your father died, you went through a few of his things. What'd you find?
I found very little, because my father died a very poor man, but there was one item in particular that I found, and it was hidden under his bed. It was a suitcase, and in the suitcase, he'd kept all of the correspondence that he'd written home from World War II to his mother, his father, and his younger sister. I had known that this suitcase existed, but I had never looked inside before, because I could tell that it was something extremely precious to my father. It wasn't until after his death that I even dared to touch it and open it. And the night of his death, I sat on the floor of his bedroom, and I handled the letters. They were worn with age, They were written in his familiar handwriting, which really hadn't changed from boyhood to old age. And within and among the letters, I also found black and white snapshots of his buddies overseas. But that night when he died, I skimmed through the letters, but it was far too painful. I glanced at one or two. I couldn't bring myself to read any further. It wasn't until several years after his death, when the first anniversaries of World War II milestones rolled around, that I found myself drawn once again to that suitcase. And I retrieved it from my eldest brother's house, and I took it home with me, and I went through and read every single letter. And that's when I discovered a side of my father that I had never known.
You have a few letters of your father's with you. Would you read one for us?
Certainly. When my father was stationed on Guadalcanal, where he was training for jungle warfare with his intelligence squad, he wrote to his mother. It was January 19, 1945. I've been thinking of all the past years, recalling things we used to do so often. Remember when Sis and I used to drag you to Savin Rock, and how we always had to make a stop at Clark's Dairy for one of those immense sundaes with that whipped cream they used to pile on? I can still picture Dad in the old days clattering down the street with Ralph Linden and me hanging on, throwing newspapers. I can even remember him teaching you how to drive and you would end up crying. And how happy I was to get my bicycle, and the time Sis stepped on my ukulele. We used to drag you and Dad out of bed at 4 a.m. on Christmas. Then my graduation suit. How many miles did I haul you around the city looking for the right one? And finally, my years at Yale, for which you and Dad worked so hard. I'm anxious to return and really learn something. The next excerpt is from a letter Dad wrote from Guam, 11 days after Japan surrendered, 2.5 weeks after the U.S. dropped the first atom bomb, and 2 months after his intelligence unit fought on Okinawa. Dear folks, as I think of it, the more I realize what irony was wrought by this war. As to what we accomplished, we managed to lose countless good men. It seems the best were taken and the poorer saved. I wonder if men, like John Terence, were taken to spare them from this world. I don't think too much of it.
How did your view of your father change after you read these?
In a way, I felt a tremendous rush of relief, because through most of my life, my father seemed a shadowy and enigmatic figure. But when I read these letters, I found that he had really been a young man just like any other young man, full of hopes and dreams and full of promise. And he had a great sense of humor. He was an extremely loving son to his mother, father, and his sister. And only by reading those letters, I think, did I find that I was able to reconcile the World War II veteran that I had known with the promising young man that he had been. And so I guess what I would say is that I felt as though the war that my father had fought and that I had shared in as his confidant had come to an end for him with his death, and that, in a sense, the war that we'd shared came to an end for both of us after I read those letters.
Julia Collins is the author of My Father's War. She spoke with us from member station WBUR in Boston. Julia, thank you so much.
Thank you, Corva.